Hallelujah. Brother Davis said this morning or this afternoon in our service, talking about problems and sickness and troubles and trials and all the things that we all go through at times. He said, why do we worry so much? He said, the worst thing that could happen to us, we're just dying and go to heaven. That's a pretty good thought. The worst thing. Thank the Lord. I'm glad that I know Him. Thank God I'm glad I know Him. Stand with me tonight. I want us to sing one verse and a chorus of an old song. And I feel this in my soul just reaching tonight. I feel the victorious touch of the Lord. I don't feel sad stories. Now, we have some problems in our church as far as physical sicknesses and some needs, and we have some job situations that's not at the best, but I don't feel any discouragement in it all because I know that the Lord is in control. Now, if we were trying to fight it or manage it by ourselves, I'd have a little bit of worry about it, but I know in Him the outcome. Now, whether it be today, tomorrow, next week, or next month, I know the outcome is there's always victory in Jesus. Always victory in Jesus. I'd like you to sing the first verse of this and then the chorus, and let's just reach out with a faith and a trust in God together.
I heard an old story how the Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me.
Well,
I heard about His groaning of His precious blood atoning.
And
then I repented
of my
sin
and
won
that
victory.
Oh, sing it, victory in Jesus, for my Savior forever. For He sought me
and He bought me
with His redeeming blood. When He loved me, I knew Him and all my love is to Him. And
He plunged me
to victory. I'd like you, if you have a need tonight, just to raise your hand and sing it with a faith. Oh, victory, I believe it's in my
Jesus.
Oh, my
Savior.
Oh, yes,
forever.
For He sought me
and He bought me
with
His redeeming
blood. When
He loved me,
I knew Him
and
all my love. Well, it's to Him. Oh,
He plunged me
to victory. The cleansing blood. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated tonight. God bless you. Again, I want to say that I don't take just being over here on a Sunday night for granted. Taking the time to preach to this, you fine folks that we count so close to us. But I appreciate it. I know it's my father-in-law and all of that, but I still appreciate the invitation to come and to feel. And I guess the words that I feel in my heart tonight, I can't even begin to express how I feel about my God and every service that we're in. I don't believe, and this is my honest feeling, I don't believe that we should waste one opportunity when we gather together to worship God. Right. Every time we walk into church, I'm trying my best to walk out better than what I came in. closer to God. And it doesn't matter. I think it has to start with me in Arkadelphia and then reach on. But that's my way of looking. Then if I do that, then I know someone else is going to be touched. So we're looking to reach to him tonight. I'd like to read from 1 Samuel, if you have your Bibles, and would turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Brother and Sister Jackson, I'd like to commend y'all being here tonight. A lot of folks, and I don't know how they're doing Pine Bluff, but a lot of them in other places would take this. I didn't want to really say Arkadelphia, would take advantage and they'd be in the hospital with your son, but you're doing him a whole lot more good being here and just responding to God. And I really looked at you back there a while ago, Brother Jackson, Sister Jackson, and I thought, well, thank God. I hope y'all receive a good touch tonight in this service and just let it carry through for Joe Jr. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over into the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other, Sina. The forefront of the one was situate northward against Mishmash, the other southward over against Gibeah. And then verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. The second verse, I'd like to take my, the springboard for what I feel tonight. It said, Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree. And tonight, I would like and I feel and I want victory in every avenue that we could search. But I want tonight to talk along these lines. You can't win a victory under the pomegranate tree. You can't win a victory under the pomegranate tree. Hallelujah. Lord, you've been so good to us. We're a blessed people. Lord, we're blessed coming and we're blessed going. Your hand is with us, and many times, oft times, we do not even realize what all you want to be to us. But God, I pray tonight that we could lay aside our own boundaries and our limitations that limit you. God, there is a tremendous power and resource in this building tonight that can grant unto us the victories that we have need of. You are unlimited, God. I pray that you turn us loose, that we may in turn give you all the leeway to do what you need in our hearts. We pray it and we thank you for it, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Praise. There's been some changes that's occurred in the nation of Israel at this time. The Philistines were still in power over the Israelites, which is, in that in itself, is a negative situation that as I read and I look at it, that God isn't really pleased with. And I won't go into all the details, I'm certain you know, but Israel placed themselves in the predicament that they were in for their failure to live for God. Saul has become king, and if you have read through any of the books of the book of Samuel, you have understood that Israel sought for their answer, and they thought if we can just have a king, everything's going to be all right. They began in themselves to say, if we can become like everyone else, we become like others, then we will be a stronger nation. But as we read up at this time, the idea that Saul has been king hasn't changed Israel's problems. It hasn't altered the circumstances that they were in. They were still under bondage. They were still living in fear. And all the time, there's something that burns in my heart as I understand through all of this. God was ready to give Israel the victory anytime they would stand and say, God, we want the victory. It's a shame, but sometimes I feel that we make God wait on us to get ready, that God can give us what God is always ready to give us. Hallelujah. So here, as they began to march, as I said in my thinking, Israel was in a place that they really shouldn't have been in. Anytime you read of the people of God living in fear, and if you would follow this through, you'd find that they were hiding from the Philistines. They were afraid for their lives. They were living in caves and in dens. They were afraid to plant any crops. Their life was in shambles. And all the while, ruling over them, wanting to be a God, was the almighty power of heaven that was willing to say, all you got to do is ask, and I'm willing, ready, and able to give you what you have need of. But Israel chose through their own light to just continue in this way. As I've already said, Saul hasn't done anything. Saul didn't give them, hey, don't you look to man for your answers as far as some of the problems that we may have. The man that works beside you at work that doesn't know God, he cannot give you instructions on how to live. Don't you look to the world and its answers to try to solve your problems. Your answer is where you are right now, tonight. It's going to be discovered in God. Saul hasn't helped the problem. Saul has not followed God. Now his beginning, you know, when you read of Saul's anointing, you read that Saul prophesied. The power of God rested upon Saul. I don't care how big of a scoundrel he was at one time in his life, but I read that God was on him at one time. And if God anointed him and God chose him and God chose to prophesy through him, then that lets me know that he had a link with God at one time. But he never used that to help rule the people. But what we read of Saul, we read that Israel marched to Gibeah. And we find that he called the armies together. They ended up with 600 men. It doesn't sound like a whole lot. But in God's numbers and God's way of multiplication and God's way of working, 600 would have been ample to defeat the enemy. But as they assembled together, the Bible does not talk about Saul offering sacrifice to God. It doesn't talk about Saul inquiring to God. The only thing that I read about Saul in this instance, this 14th chapter, is Israel's beginning of their freedom. But here's the king. And all I read of him, it says Saul marched to Gibeah and he pitched his tent under a pomegranate tree. And that's the end of what I read of Saul trying to find out where God was, what God could do, how can we get our help, what avenue do we reach. He was underneath the shade of the pomegranate tree. And the only thing that I was able to figure out in this situation was that he pitched his tent under the comfort, under the shade from the sun, under the relaxing stage of the pomegranate tree, instead of trying to say, let's get out where we need to be, he was saying, I want the comfort as far as the best that I can get. Now, if anyone would come to Saul during this time and they would approach him and say, Saul, we've got problems. Saul, what are we going to do? Saul, where are we going to get an answer? Saul would, underneath the tent, or in the tent, underneath the shade of the tree, Saul would say, we do need an answer. You're right. We've got to have an answer. There's a lot of folks in our churches that understand when the needs are there, we need an answer. But there's many individuals in our churches that they don't have the first inclination of an idea of how to go about receiving that answer. We know something has to be done. We know there is a need. We know there is a situation. But where do we go for the answer? And God have mercy when the king doesn't know where to go for the answer. When the king can't say, let's look to God. Let's trust in God. But Saul, in his situation, he thought everything's great. Man, I guess so. You know, I'm protected from the sun. Let's not get too close to the enemy. You can't have a battle if you stay too far from the enemy. You know, you can call names. I know when we were children, when we were kids, I've heard Brother Rutledge talk about where he was brought up and all the fights that they used to get in. I thank the Lord I wasn't raised in Walnut Ridge area. Bunch of devils up there. You know, I wasn't raised that way. Brother Greenway, I would have rather not fought. God gave me a little bit of common sense. You don't conquer anything. Both of you go away with bloody noses or poked eyes or something, you know. You hadn't accomplished anything. But when we were little kids, I'm talking about in grade school, maybe the kindergarten, first grade stages, you get someone that you were a little bit against for no reason. Maybe I remember one time one of them said that the one that they claimed was their girlfriend. The other one said, no, she's my girlfriend. Neither one of them had enough nerve to talk to the girl and find out if she even liked boys yet or not. But, you know, there they were. They were arguing back and forth. And finally, it got in what you would call a fight. But nobody got close enough to do anything. They just called each other names, you know. And at that age, thank the Lord that we were too young to even know any bad names to call. But they would just yell at each other, and that's all that was going on. But there wasn't any fight, because in order, that was long distance fighting, I guess. You stay over there, but I'm going to tell you what I think, and buddy, and on and on and on it goes. But if you're going to engage the enemy, somebody has to be willing to get up from underneath the shade and underneath the coolness and underneath the protection, and someone has to say, we're going to where the enemy's at, and we're going to get rid of the enemy. Hallelujah. No, but Saul said, I'd rather stay, you know, where I'm at. But you know, something in this 14th chapter that ought to touch us, I read that Saul had with him the high priest who had an ephod. At that particular age and that time, that was the means of communication with God. That was the way they talked to God. Here you have an enemy that's controlling the nation. You have a king that has been anointed of God. Samuel went and anointed Saul to be the king. He's the chosen of God. You have that king. You have the means of communication with God. You have the army coming together, but you have a king that all the Bible talks about is he's underneath the pomegranate tree. He is not using what God has given him. Never did Saul ever use the anointing that God gave him. You don't find him ever saying, God, I appreciate what you've done. God, speak to me. Should we go to battle? Should we march? Should we go against the enemy? Never do they ever use the means of listening or receiving from God. But all the time, the Bible just saying Saul's under the shade of the pomegranate tree. That's all he's doing, because it's comfort. It's comfort. You know, there are some times, and this is not meant, I do not come tonight in any negative form or fashion, but there are times that some apostolic Holy Ghost anointed saints of God who come and we sit filled with the power of God. You know, if we're not careful, we take too much for granted the night God filled us with the Holy Ghost. 26 years ago, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. But I cannot afford to just, you know, I wake up Monday morning, go to my job. I can go through the day. I can come to church Wednesdays and Sundays, sing the songs of the apostolic saints and the apostolic house of God. And I can take an active part. And if the Spirit moves, I can even act up around the altar once in a while. But take the power that God placed within me the night He filled me. I can take that for granted. Hey, the anointing of God rests upon the child of God. He filled us. I can have that within me, and I do possess it. My Bible tells me I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, I don't want to water that down. You can choose to clip it out or pour some water on it or weaken it up a little bit, but I choose to declare in my heart and in my mind, just like the Word says it, I can do anything. All things the Word of the Lord said are possible. And I don't want to walk around as Saul walked around in the comfort and the shade and just saying, well, if I leave this, then it means I've got to get into the battle. When all the while there's an anointing that rests upon my heart and upon my life and upon your heart and upon your life. I want to take this Spirit that God has given me, and I want to allow it to do the work that God intends it to do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. You know what a shame sometimes it will be? Is that there are some who will never experience some of the things that God really has for them, for the simple reason, not long after they felt the touch of God and the Holy Ghost in their life, they learned to relax under the comfort of the pomegranate tree. Just everything's all right. Boy, isn't it beautiful to know the Lord? Isn't it wonderful? And we forget that we were not called into this church just so God could have a place to pour His blessings out. We are not just a deposit so God can come and pour His Spirit out, but He filled me that I could take what He's given me and use what He's given me and work what He's given me and rejoice in what He's given me. Hey, Saul, what about the anointing? Hey, Saul, what about the ephod? Hey, Saul, what about the fact that God wants to talk to us and God wants to move on us and God has something to do in our lives? Hallelujah. And all the while, he just found himself in a tremendous comfort of where he was. We live in the very beautiful surroundings in most of our churches. I thank the Lord. I've heard people stand up. We have an older lady in our church that I believe she received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, the way she talks. She's been around for a few hundred years. And every once in a while she gets up and I guess she's trying to grind at me. Brother Wilson, she lets me know. Well, I'll tell you now, I remember when the church used to be. You know, when they start in that, I'm already closing my eyes and getting ready. Lord, get me out of this one. I remember when the church used to be spiritual. Ha ha ha. And I remember when we used to do this, and we used to do that, and we used to have miracles. Now, Brother Price, I'm not saying that it's not going on now, but I remember, and oh, I'd long to be back in the Brush Arbor meetings. Fooey on that. I don't want it. I don't want the mosquitoes. I don't want, I've preached about 10 times outdoors at night, and every time I've lost my voice until I couldn't even whisper when it was over. I don't want it. I've got something in me. And then, no, it's not soft. I started to say soft, but I love that little control that can turn the air up and turn it down and turn the heat on and turn it off. I love it. I happen to like the padded pews. I've even got to the place when I pray, I like a padded altar. I like it. Hey, I don't want to go back.
I don't want to go back to these things, but I don't want to forget what God has given us. I don't want to forget our heritage. I don't want to forget. We get so comfortable if we're not careful. We can come in it all, and we just, well, let's just flow with it tonight. I don't know if we ought to flow with it or we ought to just come and break the dam open. Instead of just flowing, let's come and let's bombard everything that would hinder and everything that would limit and say, God, we want victory. Hallelujah. If Israel was left up to Saul, they never would have had victory. If their future was left up to that king, never. And the main, I'm not saying, I don't know what Saul could have been. I don't know what he could have been. God gave him everything he could have had. You know, some folks, and I've had them around our church, and I've had them when we were in revivals, some folks like to blame everybody else why they're not in the church. One guy told me, I was preaching in Jonesboro, Brother Rutledge. We were at the hospital visiting Brother Crane shortly before he died, and it was some of his family member, a 26-year-old boy come in who had used to live for God, and we were just talking with him, and I just simply said, we'd sure like you to come to the revival tonight. He said, no, I won't be there. I said, how come? He said, there's too many hypocrites in church today. You know, I thought, well, come on, one more ain't going to hurt a bit. I didn't tell him that, though. But too many, this and did this, this and did that, this and said this. I even had someone that got mad for about 3 months in our church, and I used to think this was something that preachers just made up. Brother Howard, and come to find out she was mad because I didn't shake her hand one Sunday night. I mean mad. I'm not talking about put out. I mean mad. And I would have had to run before I even come close to finishing the message to catch her. And when I found that out, hey, it was a long time before I shook her hand again. I wouldn't even look at her way. She got mad about it. Well, this and did this, this and did that. I want you to understand something. If you live for God, it's because you want to live for God. If you are lost, it's because you choose to be lost. But as for me, I'm not going to camp underneath the shade of comfort and just say, this is all I want. Israel was stymied. They were stagnated because Saul would not use what God had given them. It blows my mind when I stop and consider that in my soul that the Lord so mercifully has chosen to rest all of the power of heaven within my heart in the form of His Spirit. It touches me when I realize that it is an unlimited glory, an unlimited power that the apostolic believing saints of God possess. Hallelujah. God have mercy on our lives. If I can sit back with my head propped back, my hands folded back, and if I choose to move, I'll move. And if it touches me, we're still living under the time in our minds when the Scripture said that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Ghost moved, if it touches me, hey, I didn't come tonight to necessarily let God touch me. But I guarantee you, I came tonight to touch God. Everything within me saying, He's a mighty God. He's a great God. He's a wonderful God. Hallelujah. He gave me when He filled me. He produced in me the means or the ability to worship Him. Hallelujah. And so I am going to take what He's given me. Jonathan, on the other hand, Jonathan looked over to one man. Saul had 600 and he wasn't doing a thing with it. Jonathan looked over to his armor bearer. And basically what Jonathan said, he said, it's time to do more than just sit underneath the pomegranate tree. He's my dad. He's my father. I love him. I respect him. But I'm not going to tell him what I'm going to do. Because dad, you know, Jonathan might have gone to him before and said, Dad, something's got to be done. Dad, you know, the Philistines out here. We need to march. And, you know, Saul would say, well, Jonathan, when you get a little years on you and you get a little older and a little wiser and you get just a little bit, you know, more upstairs, then you understand that we got to move a little slower. That's the way sometime when a new one comes into the church, Lord, I hope you bite your tongue off if you go by a new saint and you try to tell them to slow down. You'll learn. I was in a church one time. Someone just received the Holy Ghost, and they were sitting on the front row. And man, they were plugged into something somewhere that nobody else in that church was plugged in. The night before, they got the Holy Ghost. And after church, I heard a few old hard-headed, yeah, rah, 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 rah. And as that one was coming by, they said, well, you'll learn. You'll slow down a little bit. It's kind of nice to see you as you are now, but sooner or later, you'll slow down. We've got too many that's trying to slow down. What we need to do is realize, give me the spirit of the Son that's saying, come on, let's march, let's run, let's have it. There's victory in the house of God. Hallelujah. So Jonathan didn't even tell his dad. This was all on his own. He just said, I want to take my armor bearer. Come on, armor bearer. Let's go. He said, we got to do something. He said, we need a victory. That's not, you know, we can fret ourselves into an early grave. We can worry ourselves until we get so uptight that we can't even come and worship without just moaning and groaning. And that just wears on me.
Yeah.
There's some folks that have never learned that joy is more than, oh, God. Now, there's I just love it when I'm praying beside someone that, oh, God, you're so good to me. You've healed me. You blessed me. And they're just, and they're not getting anywhere. Then you let someone else come in with just joy, and they get a little, you know, spring in their step. God, I love you. God, you're great. God, you're wonderful. God, I love you. And when we come with that attitude, we need a victory. I don't believe in just worrying ourselves down. Let's just come expecting God's going to take us to victory. God's going to give us what we have need of. Hallelujah. So Jonathan came. He said, we need something to get the enemy running. The passage I read in this scripture, and I won't go into all these details, but the passage to the camp of the Philistines, the way that the Bible describes, it's saying it was extremely difficult. I don't know why the enemy always has to pitch up on the hillside on the top of a mountain with sharp rocks all around. You know, it said there was a sharp rock on the one side, a sharp rock on the other side, a narrow passage going up. If you slip, you're going to fall on the rocks and you're going to kill yourself. You know, well, I don't know. If God wanted us to fight that, he'd have made it where the enemy was down a little bit easier ground to get to. What do you think the enemy is trying to tell you? The enemy wants it to look as hopeless as he can possibly make it. It can't be done. And a lot of times we comply with the enemy. You're right. I don't guess that looks awfully dangerous to me. I better just stay back here. Maybe there's room underneath that tree for my tent to be pinched also, that I can just step back. But it was dangerous, and it was a difficult journey. But what we have to come to the conclusion is what Jonathan came to. It is worth whatever we have to do in order to have victory. Now, I didn't say it's worth whatever you have to do in order for us to have victory. We got to put ourselves in that picture. Too many times, we're wanting Jonathan to get up with his armor bearer. Go get us a revival. Go get us victory. Go bring it our way. But the way it comes is I have to be part of that army that's saying, I'm going to march. I'm going to have it. I'm going to reach. Because God's with us. And I've always thrilled how that sixth verse tells about Jonathan. It declares Jonathan saying, it may be that the Lord will work for us. God didn't tell Jonathan to go. Jonathan was just trusting in God. You know, we sing a song a lot of times, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. just to take him at his word. Trust. Trust. I believe that when we choose to use our avenue of trust in God, that that causes God to rejoice. What do you think he would have done in heaven when the Lord instructed Moses and they were at the Red Sea, stretch out the rod that's in your hand? Now the water hadn't started moving yet, but trust said, all right, God, here it goes. Trust said, let's bear the Ark of the Covenant and let's walk to the flooding Jordan River. Trust said, let's go on. I think that it produces something in heaven when we just stand out by faith and say, let's go because God is able to go with us. Let's march because God is able to march with us. Jonathan's response of reaching to God produced a victory that ultimately caused the Philistines' defeat. And what was happening back home? When the noise was rumbling through the land, the Philistines were picking up and getting ready to run. Saul was still in his tent saying, what in the world's going on around here? What's happened? Who caused the enemy to get ruffled up? Jonathan and his armor bearer. Because you can't win a victory sitting under the shade of a pomegranate tree. Somewhere you got to get up and you got to walk. I don't care what it is that we put or have in our lives tonight. You know, sometimes we can look at whatever it is that we need, and we can see it as being difficult. Some folks have been stopped from receiving the Holy Ghost because they have preconceived ideas of how hard it is. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what. And so they don't even begin to start. If you're ever going to have a victory in God, you've got to be willing to get out from the comfort and walk to what sometimes appears to be the difficult. I remember in our church several years ago, a man that was told that he had, it was either two or three different types of cancer, and they had given him just a matter of a few months to live. And I wish that I could tell you tonight that everyone that's ever prayed for in a church receives their healing. But I can't do that. I don't know why. You know, I have my ideas and on all of this business, but really, I don't know why everyone just right now. But one Sunday morning, Brother Ferguson was, they let him come home from the hospital. And I'd been visiting with him for several weeks. And he was, such poor health. He usually sat on the second row, and he came into church, and his strength was so bad. He sat in the very back row, and all during the service, all he could do to wait or just sit there. And I went back. We didn't even ask him to come up front, but I went back, and I asked the church to pray. Nothing happened. There wasn't any, you know, rejoicing. Wasn't any lightning. There wasn't anyone standing and saying, I believe God has done a great thing. But something happened on that Sunday morning service. I remember as we prayed and several of the men gathered around, when I walked back up to the front, something hit me like just a lightning bolt as far as my feelings. I thought, God's touched him. Now, he walked back out with the help of family. The next day, he was back in the hospital. And it looked like, well, what's really happened? But in about 4 weeks' time, he was back home. And it wasn't long until the doctors were, their response to him was, I'm amazed at how well you're doing. They had said 6 months. That's been 6 years ago, probably now, 5 years ago. And the last report that I got, which was several months ago, the doctors wrote on his report that he is completely over all three of these conditions. But I said all of this to simply say, you have to get up and start out for God. The woman with issue of blood walked through the crowd. That's sharp rocks. That's difficulty. That's obstacles. But, oh, to hear the words, who touched me? To hear the words, I perceive virtue or power has gone out of me. To hear the word, she didn't just, yes, God's touched me. It was a silent touch. But her healing was granted under her because she said something has to be done. And when I need the Holy Ghost, it can look so treacherous and so difficult and so such an arduous journey. But when I am willing to say, God, whatever it takes, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to have your spirit. I'm going to let that glory live within me. When I start out that way, then everything is brushed aside. And I find that God is with me all the while. God is standing with me. Hallelujah. Stand with me tonight, if you would, please. All of the avenues of our reaching to God. All of it. And I wish that I could bring out in the emphasis that I really feel this tonight. But all of the doors, all of the avenues, all of the means of our reaching or touching God belong to us tonight. If we're in the presence of the very one who parted the Red Sea, we're in the presence of the one who said, Moses, this enemy that you see today, you're not going to see him anymore after this. I'm going to get rid of the problem. We're in the presence of the one who said the walls got to come down. The giant is nothing. The fiery furnace is, it's absolutely nothing in my midst. We're in the presence of the one who said the jail bars cannot hold my church. We're in the presence of the one who can do anything and everything. But in order to obtain it, with what we have, we have to be willing to reach to what God has given us. Don't sit back with the comfort and the luxury and just say, well, in due time, Jonathan, we got to get up and we got to start walking. And I like what Jonathan said. He said, if he put it, that if the enemy says this, that we know God's with us. But if he says something else, we know that we're on our own. So we're just going back to the pomegranate tree. And we'll wait. But at least we're willing to try something. At least we're willing to march. Let's just march to victory. Let's just go on until it happens. Let's walk until it comes. Let's let it reach in our heart until we receive that God has for us. Hallelujah. Victory's ours. That's the oldest story, I guess, that's ever been preached in our church. Victory. Victory. But it belongs to us tonight. Hallelujah. Would you close your eyes with me and just raise your hands to the Lord for a moment tonight? Hallelujah.